All right, the Lord is good. Once again, if you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, let's continue from where we stopped. I just feel like this on this praying for the nation matter, how to pray for a nation. We have laid certain foundations. I want to go on to talk about some. Initially, I thought maybe I should come to an end. I should end the series there, but I just realized there's something I want to explain. Now, earlier, like I said, we're laying the foundations or concerning what we are talking about. What kind of people must we be? What are the principles that underlie this praying for the country? What kind of people should we be? How do we address, how do we react to the things that are occurring around us? We've already established the fact that it is work that we must do. We said that we must be the salt of the earth. We cannot be participating in the iniquity in the land if we are praying that the country should change. God does not even bother to listen to us, and that is a matter of fact. He doesn't even bother. And then we explained that we must keep our staff of authority up. Last time I talked about, first of all, that prayers and petitions is a first of all thing to be made for all men, for kings, and for those who are in authority. It's a what? First of all thing. That what we often do is to do it last of all. We first of all criticize. We first of all analyze. We first of all make suggestions to people who are not listening to us. We first of all abuse. We first of all accuse, which is not right. I emphasize, and very important, we should read them again, those scriptures. We read them from Zechariah chapter 3, that when Joshua came up, all right, before the judgment throne, the judgment seat of God, and Satan came up to accuse him. Joshua was legitimately accusable in that he was wearing filthy garments. But the Lord did not go that way. The principle of intercession was what he used. He said, the Lord rebuke you. All right? Because God had a purpose in the life of Joshua, who was standing as high priest, which means that he was representing the iniquity of the land by his filthy garments. Yet, intercession was made for him, and his dirty robes were removed. And the crown of authority, all right, which represented blessing, was placed upon his head, even though he came with filthy garments. The principle is that intercession works. You understand my point? Yeah, it works. And that's why, if you look at it again, is the land we're talking about now. So Sodom and Gomorrah, that was what happened to them. Their garments were very, very filthy. But Abraham was able to intercede, and he would have gotten what he asked for if they had a critical mass that was necessary. So you will have found out that Sodom and Gomorrah would have survived that judgment, but not because of their righteous works, but because of the intercession of Abraham and the righteousness of just a few people. Very important. So that's the principle underlying all of these things about prayer. Now, today I want to pick up from there and say, what exactly do we ask God concerning, and we're talking about the country. We're talking about how we ask, the principles underlying those things. Now, what are the things that we ask God for? Now, let me just say this to us again. It's not in line exactly with our teaching, but it came to my mind during the week. I shared it with Israel and with my wife, and I just feel like sharing it with us again so that we know people listen to this from many places, and the word of God is profitable for correction. Are you getting my point? Yes, so we have to help people know what is right. Now, one of the things we talk about is a plowman of hope, you know, and I explained that in that plowman of hope thing that the Bible says that the plowman should plow in hope. That is, when he's walking, he should have an expectation of what he's going to get. And I said that praying for a nation is work. And then this time around, I'm emphasizing the fact that when you are praying, you should actually expect God to answer. And so you don't pray one prayer and pretend like he's never going to answer. The example I gave is that we say, like, if you're part of this teachings we have been having over years, I've always been very positive about the country. Very, very. You know, that's how God taught me. I learned it early. I've been very, very positive. And we pray. It's not just about having a positive attitude now, but praying about those things. And I'm going to talk about it again today. All right? So we said that we must always have that. So you don't pray for your country that it will be good, and you are planning for when it will be bad. Yeah, that's not working in faith. I said, okay, what if you are taking a risk? I said, that's one thing about faith. Just trust that God will take care of you. Yeah. That's what faith is. All right? I'm praying, so I'm making plans like God will answer me. So what if it gets to a situation, in which the iniquity is so bad, God has to pour forth judgment. What he does is to deliver me out of that. And that becomes one of the rewards for the prayer. At the point in time Jeremiah was praying, God said, listen, stop praying. It happens like that. We haven't gotten to that point. All right? We haven't gotten. Trust me, we haven't gotten there. All right? Now, Jeremiah prayed and prayed, and God said, because God called Jeremiah to go and break down, to uproot. When he saw what was happening, he felt bad. So he prayed to God that God will have mercy upon the land. And that's among the things we're going to talk about again. What are the things we ask for? After a while, God called to Jeremiah, this is your prayer. I won't answer it. He said, even if Moses and Samuel were to pray, I still wouldn't answer. And these are people that had prayed in the past, and God had relented concerning what he wanted to do. So God said to Jeremiah, okay, you think you can pray? Go and wake Moses up. Wake Samuel up. People have done this thing before you. If they prayed on this particular judgment, I won't answer. He said, because the destruction that I have determined, like the Bible says, is overflowing with righteousness. He said, I can't do anything but to pour forth my wrath, all right, upon these people. For that reason, you know what he now said to him? He said, but you, I will give you your life as a booty. That's what he said to him. You, what you will get out of this is that no evil will befall you. You'll be okay. That's what he said to him. So Jeremiah saw once when the angels came and said, mark everybody that is sighing and groaning for the iniquity that is in the land. Any of that person is going to be dead. And Jeremiah watched the angels run up and down marking people, and only him was marked. They were looking for who to mark. They didn't find. But Jeremiah, that had the passion of God in his heart, was walking in righteousness and groaning and praying concerning the things that were happening in the land, the things that were happening. God put a mark on him and spared him, you know, because of that. Are you getting my point? So that's something that, let's relax for God. Did you hear what I said? Let's relax. He will take care of you. All right? But I don't even believe that we have gotten to that point. I believe very strongly that good is coming. Amen. And those who labor, not physically now, spiritually, the land will yield its increase for those people. Amen. The land, this land, that is, you will sit, you will fall asleep one day, you wake up into abundance. Because God commanded it towards you. That's how God arranges these things. Now, there's something I just wanted to say about that. When we're talking about laboring in hope, all right? So I said, that's why I don't believe that, you are praying for the country. Then when you want to have your children, you now strategize so that you can go and have them where they will have an opportunity in case the country is scattered to have another country. You know, you don't want to, I'm not criticizing people, but that's always been my own attitude. All right? You want born picking? Go born them for, born them around. Say, you go get Nigerian passport. Your papa waiting when you get. Yet you, are you getting my point? Are you not prospering today? I don't know whether you're getting my point. You know, a lot of the way we think, we obviously don't have faith. Yes, that's how we Christians behave. We behave in such a manner that is clear we have no faith at all. We are just going to church. In fact, one of the things I wanted to talk about today, I just realized I have not finished this praying for the nation thing, is that how to pray for your children. Maybe all of this is because of children's future. Abi?
Yeah.
Yes. What they need, what those children need, eh? What they need is prayer. That day I was telling my wife that I just feel like we should pray for this kid. We haven't even done it, but even though we haven't joined hands, but I woke up during the night. One by one, I was calling them by name. Simple prayer, nothing difficult. In the name of Jesus, I can be to be well with you. The Lord will bless you. He will keep you. He will cause his face to shine upon you. He will be gracious unto you. He lift up his countenance upon you, and he will give you peace. No evil shall befall you. No plague will come near your dwelling. When I finish, I start on the next one. I was speaking them one by one. At the point, I will fall asleep. Then when I wake up, I know where I stopped. I know where I stopped. I said, who was the last person? No, I remember the last person. Oh, yeah, you next. And I just get up and pacing around. Just me. I'm just pacing around. That's what they need. They don't need money in the bank account. A friend of mine told me something once. I laughed. He said, he started thinking, he looked at his children, he suddenly got worried. He said, should I keep money in pounds? Or is it in euro? Or is he in dollar? He said, then he realized something, that he was sweating. It wasn't hot. Maybe the AC was on. But while he was thinking, he had become so charged up emotionally, he had begun to sweat. When he told me, I laughed. Safety is of the Lord. You know, the kind of person I am, the way God taught me, if I was the one, and I was thinking, should I keep in dollar and euro, and I had the dollar there. That's how I do. God has taught me that one. For me to sit down and say, this dollar should have been kept for this generation, next day is spending spree. Is spending spree, is giving spree. I'm telling you, just that money that I was thinking before, I said, so you are a temptation, Abi. All right, let me show you something. If it was in dollar, I'll go and convert it to naira. Boy, it's more chop. Oh, boy, you don't chop. Come, sit down. You won't know what I'm doing. I will go out, you understand? I said, oh, boy, I want to go and buy some suits. You want to come? You go there before I'll buy suits for everybody. You won't know, this man is in a mood. You know? You won't know that I'm cutting off unbelief out of my life. That's it. I start cutting. I said, this one that I laying off for tomorrow for children. When we are through, I said, God, So those children, right now, you know, nothing but you. If you don't arrange, nothing else go arrange. You know that kind of thing. That's it. Now, this is Jesus I wanted to give you briefly. Then I get back into the main message on how to pray for the country. I was reading news a few days ago, BBC News. And something struck me, right? The news was reported very simply with no emotional attachment. No, what the Iboma would call judging. They were not judging. They just reported it simply. They did an award in one, I won't mention the country, but one of these Western countries. They did an award. You know, movie awards, you know, Grammy awards. What's the one for movies now? The Oscars, all right? They have another name for it. Academy. The Academy Awards, all right? So they did this, you know, those kind of awards. This one, they did the awards. One particular group did the award for pornography. You hear what I said? They did their own award, you know, because like Christian music, they have Dove Awards in the U.S. They have Grammy Awards. Then for Christian musicians, they had Dove Awards. Now this one, this was in one of those Western countries. They had an award ceremony for pornographers. And they were given an award. And you see all of them pose. Normal people take pictures and they interview them. I was reading this in BBC News. You know, normal news. You know, normal news. You know the way you read Daily Times? Vanguard, This Day Online. I also read news on BBC. BBC News, just normal news, just scroll. This one, pornography awards. They said they are talking about one particular feminist kind of pornography. Hey, now, you see the pictures of the normal pictures, that is normal daily pictures of the pornographers, that is the producers, the actors, all of them, I said, original Ayetidori Kodo. The world is upside down. That is, the producers were not hiding. The actors are not hiding. They gave interviews. Yes, we like this kind of pornography because it allows us to express ourselves like this. I said, Jesus, God, your patience, I have a problem with it too. It's too long. What are you up to? Now, this is the interesting part. This is what I'm talking about. It was normal news. They were not like, if Charisma News reported that, they will report it with a slant to let you see what the devil is doing on the earth. I don't know whether you get my point. But this one, no, not like that. It was like, yes, there was an event that occurred. They give you the name of the town, the hotel they use. People, the way you have Academy Awards, and they're taking pictures. And you see, they're looking like normal people. That's not my gist. My gist is that this same country, over the last few years, they started giving out their citizenship free, almost. Just come there, buy a house, live there for some time. Once you buy the house, they give you their residency permit. Then, you become a citizen after a while. Just a few years. And Nigerians rushed for it. And I'll keep on saying, let your money not be a cost to you. It's very important. Those who do those things are those who have prospered locally. An average civil servant who's struggling, an average businessman who's trying to get, doesn't remember. I mean, where's he going to get $300,000 to buy a house somewhere from? He's not, he doesn't have it. So it's those who have prospered that do these kind of things. Now, we need to speak also, people wake up. And I said, why do we do it? You want a place where your children, I'm back to this children matter. Because men don't do it themselves. They carry their wives and their children and drop them there And they are local, you know, they are based locally here. I'm struggling out here and go visit your family. Why? You want my children to go to school, you know, have a this, and it also goes on strike. I think it's a very, let me not use harsh words, but don't be silly. As it goes on strike, they also end the strike. Then, now, this is what I'm talking about. Why do we do this? We have a stable economy, we want a stable environment, but it doesn't cross your mind that the spiritual environment is horrible. You're willing to put your children in a good physical environment with a horrible, you know, spiritual environment. The spiritual environment is horrible. He goes out in the morning, he's going by, they say, what's going on? Okay, that's the big movie star in pornography. Yeah, she's very good, you know. And they talk about it normally. Your child is going to grow up thinking pornography is normal. And you have no problem with it. But you have a problem with the fact that instead of studying his course in 4 years, it may take him 5 years. The extra 1 year is a problem to you. But the fact that he will go to school where his teacher is a transvestite and he cannot see anything doesn't matter to you. As far back as 23 years ago, this country I'm talking about already had a law against gay bashing. What they call gay bashing, you cannot say to anybody homosexuality is wrong. Gay bashing doesn't mean beating a gay man. No. Gay bashing means that you can't say publicly that homosexuality is wrong. They had it 20-something years ago. Now they are offering you citizenship free, and you think it is a sign that you love your children, that you will raise them under such circumstances. You are not even there to guide them. Let me tell you the truth. You don't believe in spiritual things. You don't. You don't. That is why you are willing to sell a house here, buy a house there. Why? You want a future for your children. What future? Only economic future. What about spiritual future? You have never asked yourself, which church are they going to go to? We don't ask those questions. We don't. Which church will these children go to? Who will be their friends? You are relocating? I have no problem. You know, you must understand me. You can go to Australia. You can go to my good place, Malawi. You can go to Kenya. You can go to anywhere. I have no problem. But think. How are you reasoning? I read that one that day. You know, I said, do you realize we don't think about this thing? What do we think about? Economy is good. Worldliness. Flesh carnality. Light is constant. Water flows. You see what I'm saying? The roads, they don't have pothole. As for crime, it's the same everywhere. Don't forget all of these things. It's the same. The other day I was reading in America, in the news, same BBC news. One man carried his wife, his children, 4 children, shot all of them, shot himself and burnt the house down. It is in America, a man will just carry a gun, enter a cinema. As all of you are watching, you get up. Before somebody pulls out a gun to shoot him, he has killed like 17 people. And then he paints his hair yellow and goes to court and he's smiling. And the judge doesn't even know what to do. If I kill this one now, is he going to bring the 17 people that are dead back from the dead? One of our brothers, he works somewhere in Port Harcourt area. So there's an American guy there, a European, one of them. The guy has married an Asian and said he stayed in Nigeria permanently. So they said, oh, why? You're not going back home. He said, why should I go back home? It's summer around the year in Nigeria. 12 months a year is summer. Why am I going to? He said, what about crime? He said, listen, the crime in Nigeria is economic. If they kidnap you, give them money, they'll release you. This was a white man talking. He said, it's about money. So that to him is not a problem. He said, back home, a man will take you and cut you to pieces for nothing. You can't beg him, you can't pay him. He said, no, that he prefers a Nigerian criminal. Now when that one is coming, we will share the money. Say, how much? $5,000 take. Let me not see you for some weeks, okay? He said, but back home, he said, no, that the kind of criminal that he sees there, they scare him. You ask home, woman will just come, lock the doors, tie you down. You didn't do him anything. He wants to see how it will be like to be cutting your leg one by one. Remove one toe today, dress it for you. Tomorrow, come on the other toe. You know, when I watched on TV, very funny. The guy will go and kidnap young boys, I know what he does. Be breaking their leg every day. Break their leg until... Of course, normally, of course, for those of you who know medicine well, you break the thighs, you bleed enough into the thighs to die. And he had done a few. But one of the boys did do, that one escaped. We now found that he had killed like three other boys like that. They would just disappear. So that white man said, that's what he doesn't like. That in Nigeria, when the armed robber has come, his money is looking for. So we understand each other. And I say there's crime everywhere. That's the point I'm trying to make. All right? Now, I can say I don't care where you live, really, primarily. But I care how you reason. That's my own. If you think you are planning for a better future for your children because somebody is offering you something, listen, let me tell you the truth. These things that are spiritual control the things that are physical. The spiritual climate of today determines the economic climate of tomorrow. Are you getting my point? Just bear that one in mind. I don't understand Christians. You get up, you make plans. Why? You don't ask yourself, who will be my children's teacher? You said the academic curriculum is regular. In some of those schools, the law is simple. You cannot. They don't say father, mother anymore. They say parents one and parents two. Yes, that's the trend now. They don't even say, you know, when you fill form, husband, wife. No. It is partner. Because half of those who come to the place are not married. Amongst the ones that are married, some are married to to boys. Meanwhile, they are men. They are married to men. So, yes. So the society says it's the way they like it. So they redesign their forms so that if you go to school, your child goes to school, his neighbor's father is a man, the mother is a man. And people are comfortable with that. If you are born in that circumstance, you know that is your problem to face. But I'm a bit concerned with when you make the decision because of financial gain. The morality doesn't matter to you. Listen, why, you know, I dropped that one, I look for where to add it to our issue of, you know, a plowman of what? Of hope. When you are making decisions, please watch this thing. So sometimes when I always make decisions, I just shake my head. I say, how do you reason? Let's just be normal. Let's just look around. Why do you think a country is God? There's no country that's God. There's no safety anywhere in this world, though. It is where God protects you. That's where you are safe. You know, the days of one of our brothers in Bonny Island told me something. He said one of his colleagues in their office. One day the guy was shaking his head like he doesn't know what to do again. You know why? There was a time that militants were attacking, you know, the Niger Delta area. It was serious. So he was so terrified, gathered his wife and children and located them to Abuja. You know, you understand my point? So bought a house in Abuja, kept the wife and children there. And he came back there and was walking. The militancy ended, you understand? These kidnappings, shooting and all of that. And then bombing began in Abuja. So the guy was now confused. Okay, now what do I do? I ran away from here. I went somewhere else. Now, I don't even know what to do there again. Where will I carry them to next? And that's how this life is. As Christians, we must bear these things in mind. That's why I keep on saying these things. I don't understand how you want to plan for your children. Your plan is purely economic and you are a Christian. You are not concerned. Now, I cannot... Look, I'm not going to... If I have the choice, I'm not going to try and raise my children where they will call police if I flog them. I have the choice. I have to be able to... That is, you remember that video? When I said, Grandpa, shut up. The boy said, yay. What did I say again? Hey, Babo. The man shout. We call police. The boy says, we're going to call the cops. We're going to call the cops. Yeah, call out. Call out and say one. They go. When the policeman arrived, he said, what's your phone? He said, we'll tell him to shut up. Eh? The policeman said, you told your grandfather to shut up. That is a criminal offense. A dereliction of the constitution. Now he began to beat it. Grandpa said, your papa don't spoil you, I go repair you before you go back. The Lord is good. Please, I don't know whether you are connecting what I'm saying. My concern is, how do you reason? When you are planning, You can't be making plans for your children purely based on economic considerations. No, come on. You can't be doing that. And even if you were doing that, that is, you wanted to plan for them with the economics in mind. That's what you're talking about, prayer. You must be a plowman of what? Of hope. Maybe one of these days, if I thought about doing it today, but maybe we'll get to it. How to pray for your children. The prayer you pray for them is much more important than the money you save up for them. I hope you understand that. It's much more important than the money that you saved up for them. The prayer I prayed to God is that if it is money, my children should have plenty. More than I will have. I don't plan to need their money, but that's prayer. That they will prosper. And anywhere they go, they will prosper. Anywhere. Let me not see. Look, Jacob ran away from home. His father had a blessing. He collected that blessing before he ran away. It was a spiritual substance. Where he got to, he became rich. When Jacob began to grow in wealth, he had not taken a pin physically from Isaac. You are getting my point? Jacob's wealth was not physically derived from Isaac's, but it was derived from the spiritual wealth that Isaac had. What you should pass across to your children is spiritual blessing. That's it. I heard a story once many years ago. He said one day a family was fighting. A man died, left a lot of property, company, and all of that. So the children were fighting over it. He said one day the man who was the father's MD now, GM, running one of the father's companies. He called the man's first son. He said, all these people are fighting over. I hope that you know the real inheritance. Me, I have collected it. That you are fighting over land, money, who owns this company. He told the boy that the real inheritance, I collected it from your father. What is it? How the man built this business? I'm the only one he taught. The rest of you are flying all over the world, enjoying yourselves, feeling happy. Now you are here quarreling with your younger ones on who gets the house in VI, who gets the house in Abuja, who's going to be the majority shareholder in this company. He said, the real inheritance. I'm your collector. Well, I've worked with your father for maybe the last 30 years. I know how he wakes up, how he sleeps, how he makes business decisions, the disciplines that the man had in his life with which he built this kind of wealth. I learned it from him. None of you did. You are fighting over property. What's happened to say? If I live here, I will build what your father built. I will build it independently. While you and your younger ones are shooting each other on who will inherit what. That is, the real wealth is not physical. It's not. The real wealth for us Christians is, number one, it is spiritual. And number two, you train those children. It's unfortunate because the Bible says that the man who sows, you know, the earth by itself produces. He himself does not know how. That's why you need the word of God. Because a lot of people prosper, they don't even know what they really did that helped them prosper. So they did not pass those things across to their children. So they train the children to be lazy, to have an entitlement mentality. Why? Because that is always there to give them something. Meanwhile, nobody gave daddy anything. That's how come he has everything today. Nobody gave him anything. He had to work for everything he had. But then now, before the beginning, when Papa go drop, when I'm going to school, normally it's kind of hot, you know. It gives me an AC card. So the boy doesn't even know that life is hot. You know, on this holiday, I don't like hanging around, you know. Eventually, all is boring. Papa buy flight tickets. Fly all over the world. Then the boy thinks that life is like that. Then one day the father dies, tend to run the father's company. He can't. He doesn't understand that there are trying times in every business. So he's always flying his first class. Why shouldn't he fly first class? Because he grew up with an entitlement mentality. Life must always give me these things. There's one big man I heard of in Lagos. I forgot the name of the company now. I've told you, but one of these big companies in Nigeria, if I mention the name, you will know. But I've forgotten which of them now. He said one day the man fired all his sons, sacked all of them. You know, they were like his managers. You know, who's the ED in charge of this? It's one of his boys. Who's this one? It was the GM in this company. It's one of his boys. Then one day the man looked at the books, sacked all of them. You know why? Weekend, the boys are in London. Weekend. That is from Lagos. They don't read every weekend, they don't read London. Party, you know, when they want to go to party, they spend real cooler, you know what I'm saying? Real money. When the man look. Of course, you know who's paying now? Not them. Company pays all this. The man look the whole thing. Say, these boys will run this company well in my life. So you woke up one day and sacked every single one of them. Thank you very much. Don't worry, we'll be paying you money, but you're not working here again. Because they were running the company down. Why were they running it down? They didn't understand how the father built it up. The father wasn't flying first class all over the place. He didn't fly for a very long time. He trekked. Those are the disciplines that many rich people don't pass down to those children. But you want to settle them where life will not be difficult. Listen, even if your father's name is Bill Gates, life is hard. You understand? Life is hard doesn't mean you're a bad person. Life is hard means that, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And God always sends people inside to go and say, let there be light. So once God has given you life, he looks for where something is dark and he throws you in there. Say, you, go and command light to be. So when you get there, it's darkness. You have to tell the waters to separate, tell the light to come, tell the earth to bring forth, tell the water. That's the job of a child of God, a co-creator with God. You start creating things. Life is hard. Let nobody lie to you that life is not hard. It's hard. That's why God rewards overcomers. He doesn't reward over choppers. I hope you understand what I mean by over chopper. You have to be what? An overcomer. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, why did I digress into that? Back to the issue of the plowman of hope. Yes. And I told you, when I read that news, so I believe it was the Holy Spirit just allowed me to see, look at your brethren. They are not thinking. Don't let your money be a curse to you. That's the point I'm making. Don't use to buy things that after one generation, you wish you never did. That's just the point I am making. When you are doing your calculations, please calculate well. Please calculate well. I want to put my children where life will be comfortable for them economically. Ask yourself, which one is more important, economics or the spiritual side of it? That's what I'm trying to say. All right? I mean, don't let your son come back visiting you and wearing an earring and tattoo. Just know you have problems. That's the truth now. Your child comes back home. He's a teenager. He's wearing earrings and tattoo. You have to repent. You have to confess your sins before God. It's your fault. Tattoo. You're picking them. You say, you know, in America, that's how they are. Listen. Responsible people in America don't wear earrings and tattoos. Point to one American governor with earring now. Go to Congress. How many people do you see there with earring and tattoo? He said, this person had earring and tattoo and he still made it. He's a musician. He's a basketballer. Listen, real people, earring and tattoo. They never realize that they'll be looking at you like this. You won't know why they didn't give you the job. Earring and tattoo. They're copying all kinds of nonsense. You know what I hate about tattoos? They are permanent. You can't even change your mind tomorrow. Yes, you can't change your mind tomorrow. Mike Tyson had a real problem with now tattooing his face. By the time you are tattooing your face, you are confused. That is, your confusion is permanent. Tattoo your face. I don't know if I say something, and that's your opinion. I will not have my opinion. That's why you came to hear it anyway. You understand my point? You wanted to hear my opinion. You wanted to hear Pastor Chris Okoti's opinion. You have gone to household of God. Is that not so? You wanted to hear Chris Okoti, what they call it, Akilimen's opinion. You will go Christ in verse. Is that not so? But then you come to kwbm.com.ng. You wanted to hear Pastor Frank's opinion. So I will tell you my opinion. Listen, I just want to say it again. There's no education you are giving a teenager that you are sending him far away from home. I don't think it's wise. That's my opinion. Yes, you wanted to hear it. I
I don't know. People use their money to buy wahala. Pastor Paul Adeolu Adefarasi, he has told this story before. So let me just say it. His father was rich like that too. Father sent his brother Shegu, him, I don't know about Wale, but sent his boys abroad. The allowance Shegu said he was getting, that's the Pastor Paul's younger brother, in a year, that time was $50,000. Yeah, an average people working in the UK, that time, where would they see that kind of money? Say, he rented a decent apartment, had two cars. When they want to have parties on weekends, people use alcohol and Indian hemp. There is cocaine. Boys will buy cocaine, start on Friday night. And he was in secondary school. I forgot to add that one to it. So when he finished secondary school in London, I said, yeah, this is not good. So father arranged, now went to school in the US. He said he was happy to get away from London. At least things will change.